Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Like the lady said, stop telephoning, start buying. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a debate on product advertisement hidden in music videos. And a little bit later, the band Not a Surf plays live songs from their new album of covers. But first, Lady Gaga's new music video for Telephone is long, 9 minutes long. But it has even more brands on it, 10 of them, including Virgin Mobile, Hewlett-Packard, Diet Coke, and Chevrolet. Call it the Gaga-ization of a common practice in music. With shrinking CD sales, a growing number of artists, from indie rockers OK Go to the R&B singer Chris Brown, are trying to cash in by selling space for product advertising in their music videos. Now, some say without commercial sponsorships, musicians couldn't pay their bills. Others claim advertisement is killing the art. So our question today is product placement in music realistic or ridiculous? It's this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
Today's defender of product placement in music is writer and blogger Maura Johnston, who joins me in the studio. Maura Johnston is brought to you today by
DailyFinance.com, sure.
And the man who wouldn't take any corporate money is Tim Riley, journalist in residence at Emerson College and author of several books on rock, including Fever, How Rock and Roll Transformed Gender in America. He joins us by phone from Boston. Tim, welcome back to the program.
Hi, how are you?
So, realistic, are artists just being realistic, or has it reached the point of ridiculous, Tim?
Oh, I think it's totally ridiculous. I mean, I feel about, when I see all these ads in pop videos, I feel the same way I do when I pay $12 to go see a movie and they start showing me ads in the movie theater. I feel like I don't want to pay for ads. Ads are supposed to be what makes the whole thing free. I don't want to have to buy a record and get advertised to from the record. Give me a break.
Maura?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about music videos, you know, first of all, watching a music video is still a free enterprise, right? And the thing about
So you would say they're being realistic.
Yeah, absolutely realistic. I mean, you know, the function of the music video used to serve as these sort of 3-minute long commercials for the songs and the albums that the songs were featured on. And ideally, the economic transaction would happen when either the song was purchased or, you know, in the minds of labels, more ideally, the album was purchased. And since this bottom has sort of fallen out on the recorded music industry, you know, I mean, artists still want to put out these videos where they can have creative expression. And I mean, I think the Gaga video is obviously a huge, like, you know, very blatant example where there were points with certain sponsors in the video, most notably Wonder Bread and Miracle Whip, where I was wondering if actually she was sort of, you know, doing a wink and a nod to the idea of product placement in a video and also, you know, to the whole Andy Warhol pop art thing because she does fancy herself an artist, as she loves to say.
Well, but I wondered the same thing. And I guess that, Tim, might be one of the big problems is how do you know what's paid for and what's ironic and what's a genuine, sincere shout out?
Right. You can't know. And her video is so over the top. It's a fire hose of product placements, you know. And
it's a lot of stuff, too, though.
A lot of stuff. And, like, who's supposed to know? And finally, how are we supposed to care? I mean, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to go buy a Polaroid camera now and some this kind of mannequin. And this is like, are you kidding me? Can anyone take any of that seriously?
I don't think that you're supposed to necessarily buy it. I think you're just supposed to appreciate the fact that, like, someone out there is still willing to sort of, you know, fund these ridiculous products. I mean, you know, the music video, right? I mean, it would have had back in the day, like, it would have still had a corporate sponsor, but that corporate sponsor would have been Universal Music Group instead of Polaroid. And obviously, it would have been, you know, more subtle. It would have been in the Chiron at the beginning and the end of the video, but at the same time, like,
the Chiron being the little thing, yeah, that
the little
the band
bug,
the song,
right,
and the record label,
right? Thank you. Yeah. But you know, now, I mean, since that sort of structure has sort of the bottom's fallen out of it, you know, and I do agree that there are examples of product placement in videos where it's just completely, you know, blatant and over the top. And like,
isn't that what Lady Gaga's all about with telephone?
Well, yeah, with telephone for sure. And I think it fits into the rest of the video. I mean, you know, the whole video is basically a meditation on films of like the crazy films of Quentin Tarantino and, you know, all of these over the top filmmakers. So she's just bringing the sort of idea of what makes a music video now into this over the top realm. But I think that, you know, also it's important to note that, you know, I've heard stories about like certain artists having product placement sort of imposed on them because that's the only way that they can fund their videos.
Yeah, which I just think is a ridiculous argument to make when you're talking about Lady Gaga. She doesn't need a mayonnaise company to underwrite her video. I mean, please.
Have you seen her royalty statements?
Well, no, I don't think, I just don't buy the idea that any musician's ever made significant income off their records. In the first place, I think the staple financial revenue stream for musicians has always been the live performance, and it always will be.
I don't think that's true for pop musicians at all. And I mean, you know, we can get into a discussion of, you know, music, like record company accounting practices and everything. I mean, that, you know, and what makes an actual musician and how they should actually make money. But, you know, for an artist who has such grandiose ambitions, if she's figuring out alternate ways to sort of make it through in this, you know, in this climate where she actually still sells a lot of records, but obviously the structure to support the distribution and funding of those videos has sort of gone away. I mean, you know, most of the streams for that video were on the site Vevo, which is that joint venture between the record labels and Google. So I mean, I think it's a lot more complicated, and especially for artists, not every artist makes all their money on tour, you know? I don't think that that's an argument that you can really hold water with in the first place.
Well, I stick by that argument. I think if you're the Rolling Stones and you have to sue for back royalties, that means you're the biggest band in the business, and you still aren't getting paid what your record label owes you, and that means they're definitely not paying their midline artists. And this has happened all the way through history, and every big artist has to go back and sue their record company to get what they're owed to them. So the idea that they earn the bulk of their stuff from record labels is just kind of hooey to me.
Oh, I'm not saying that they do. I'm just saying that the funding for these sorts of projects did come from the record labels in the past. And so if the record labels aren't as willing to lay out cash because it doesn't make as much sense on the balance sheet, then they have to think of alternate ways to come up with the money to fund these products that, you know, they feel are important to presenting their art to the world.
So, Maura, are you suggesting that Lady Gaga's telephone, if the record company had been bankrolling, it would have been a three-minute video to accompany a three-minute song,
absolutely,
and that's it?
Yeah.
And instead, with all this advertising money, it's been blown up to this nine-minute thing. Is that a good thing?
I mean, we're talking about it now, so I guess it's good for her, right?
Fair enough. All right, Maura Johnston, the music writer and blogger, is with me in the studio. Tim Riley, journalist in residence at Emerson College and noted author, with us on the phone. We are debating product placement, and we started talking about the Lady Gaga telephone video because, as both of my guests agree, it is, you know, just this over-the-top, you know, in-your-face kind of video about product placement. Let's talk about another case study that's at the opposite end. OK Go, this remarkable one-take video of an entire building turned into a Rube Goldberg contraption, and it is funded essentially by State Farm, the insurance company. Tim, do you have a problem with that?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, because I don't know. The whole idea of State Farm, of insurance people I don't know. Now, see, but I'm an old school like guy. Like, I think pop music should sell out like as soon as it can. I'm all in favor of people buying into, you know, cutting the best deals they possibly can for themselves. But the idea that the insurance company is going to underwrite something, you don't want to have the person who's controlling the purse strings to come up to you and say, "Do you really want to mention that business about, you know, the house burning down, or about the person taking too much risk, or about the blah, blah, blah." I mean, you don't want them to have any suggestion of controlling content. And just the way the record labels tried to control content and successfully controlled a lot of content throughout rock and roll, now we're just letting the advertisers step in and do that.
Mara?
Very same thing.
I actually spoke to Damian Kulash, who's the lead singer of OK Go, about the video, because, you know, it's an interesting story, I think, where they're trying, where obviously OK Go a couple of years ago had a video for their song Here It Goes Again, and it was the four of them on treadmills, yeah. And it was a huge YouTube hit, and, you know, they actually are going indie on April 1st of next month, and they've been operating under the auspices of Capitol Records, which is a division of EMI. And they, you know, they got this idea in their head that they wanted to do this Rube Goldberg video. They worked on it for about 6 months. And I would say, and I was talking to Damian about it, you know, and he said, you know, in the past we've had interference from our record label because they've wanted to be creative because, like, the executives at record labels are creative people and they fancy themselves, you know, creative people who can sort of have a say over things. He told me that the guy from State Farm, after the deal was made, basically came in, was there for about half an hour, looked to see that the tag, because, I mean, if you've seen the video, the way that the sponsorship is presented is pretty elegant. It's just a tag, you know, there's a tag with the State Farm brand on at the beginning of the video, and then at the end, there's a little message, thank you for the funding. And, you know, I mean, this is something that was really ambitious. It took them about 6 months to do it from execution to completion, and the State Farm people were basically there for about 20 minutes. This is what Damian told me. They checked to see that everything was in place as far as the State Farm logo being where they had contractually agreed, and then they left. And I think that, you know, you have to, there's a sort of like level of, you know, of oversight, but at the same time, if it's something that's so elegant and that it funds something that's really cool and that people are, you know, getting the name out of your band.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the song, This Too Shall Pass. There is a link to the video that we're talking about and to the Lady Gaga video that we were talking about as well on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. This Too Shall Pass, the name of the song from OK Go. And I should say there are two videos to this. There's one they did live, one shot, one take with the Notre Dame Marching Band, which is also kind of cool. But the one we're talking about, you should really check it out. There's a link on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Check it out. See what you think of the product placement by State Farm, who bankrolled the video by OK Go. And we are debating product placement on Soundcheck today in this week's SmackDown. And what do you think? Does it bother you to see a brand name in a music video? Why or why not? And if you're a musician or an artist, would you do it? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Some comments already coming in. And as he often does, Soundcheck producer Joel Meyer is tasked with moderating said comments. He's in the control room. Joel?
John, it's a big job, but somebody has to do it. Our listener Brian writes, 40 years ago, a nervous record company legal department made Ray Davies of the Kinks re-record a line in Lola, changing the words Coca-Cola to Cherry Cola in fear of a possible lawsuit. Nowadays, Coke would love having a gratuitous mention in a song. Robots need to party posts this. There is some artistic merit to the telephone video by Lady Gaga, but all the ad placement is a distraction and not integrated in a successful, ironic way. It could have been a seamless integration, but it failed. And then our listener Perry brings up endorsements. You know, we have to sort of differentiate between endorsements when artists are doing things outside their songs and product placement when they're doing things inside their song. Perry bought the Heavies song How You Like Me Now after hearing it in the quirky Kia Sorento commercial, but Perry discloses that he does not own a Sorento, nor does he have plans to buy one.
So he liked the song from the TV ad, but not the car that it was being used to tout.
Right. And Perry brings up an interesting question, really, like, who's the winner here? Do artists win or does the brand win? Do those brands really kind of penetrate the video and get out to the people that are watching it?
All right. Tim, let me ask you, do you make the distinction that listener made between an artist, you know, incorporating a brand name, you know, a shout-out in a rap song to Patron Vodka, or, you know, Lady Gaga with, you know, with the telephone video? Do you distinguish that from these same artists then, you know, doing commercials or magazine ads for products?
Well, I think there's a very strong implied endorsement, because I doubt that Lady Gaga is going to come out and start trashing the brand vodka in a press conference or something in some other forum. And we're going to see, you know, if somebody does say that, and or, you know, somebody from this OK Go band comes out and says something that the insurance company finds objectionable, then we're going to see, are they going to yank the video? Are they going to say, well, they violated the terms of contract? I think there are really, really touchy speech issues just waiting to be challenged here.
Laura?
I mean, I guess that's always, I mean, it's so funny because I guess that's always been the case, though, with major label artists, hasn't it? I mean, Universal Music Group is owned by, they're all the majors are owned by these huge conglomerates that have other interests all around the world.
Well, let me go back to something Tim said earlier, which is, let's take the example of OK Go and State Farm. If you blink, you miss the State Farm product placement at the beginning of the video, and all you get is a little thank you to State Farm at the very end. It's very tastefully mm-hmm. done, but isn't there a suggestion that there might be, you know, because we don't know, watching this video, exactly how much control the folks at State Farm. So isn't that something that you have to deal with, the
but
suggestion of control?
We don't know how much control an executive at Universal or an executive at EMI had over it either. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, once you start sort of getting into those nuts and bolts, then I think you also have to just look at the whole superstructure and how it, you know, how these decisions that are imperceptible to the casual listener are made every day.
All right, Tim, I'm going to lob a softball to you. Chris Brown and Double Mint Gum. The Chris Brown song Forever, which starts with him chewing gum, and in the chorus it has the line, you know, we only got one night, double your pleasure, double your fun, which for years has been the tagline for Double Mint Gum. And then when the song, you know, after the song comes out, only later is it revealed to have been part of a commercial for Double Mint Gum. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's Exhibit A in anybody's protest against this kind of thing. I mean, you know, only after it comes out. I mean, first of all, you'd have to say that if I thought much more of any of these artists and thought they were actually creating art or doing something on a really interesting poetic level, I'd be a lot more offended by this.
I mean,
but Chris Brown isn't. I mean, he's really hard to take seriously on any level. And, you know, and so he makes an ad. It's like, well, big deal, you know, go make an ad. I wish it bothered me more on a certain level, right? Lady Gaga, I just think, is a ridiculous example, because I just can't imagine that she has trouble drumming up money to make a video.
Everybody has trouble drumming up money to make videos these days.
Well, if you want to make a 9-minute video,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's, you know, she has grandiose ambitions. I mean, look, it's not about, like, who's the better artist or what's, you know, real art? Because if we get into that debate, then we're going to be here all day.
But more, the Chris Brown thing.
But the Chris Brown thing I thought was pretty egregious. I mean, definitely. Because, you know, at least with, like, the telephone video and other examples of this, it's blatant. With the Chris Brown song, it was like, oh, well, this song is interpolating a hook. And, you know, obviously interpolating hooks from older pop songs is very popular right now and has been for the past 10 years. So yeah, there was definitely like a feeling of a cheat about that, especially since I think it was only revealed once the song went to number two.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, you think maybe
in this song, there's
the,
in this
the
case,
slope got a little slippery.
The slope
here.
Definitely got slippery just because like it was, you know, it was all audible and not visually obvious.
We're debating product placement in songs and music videos with Tim Riley and Maura Johnston, and with you, your calls and comments coming up. In a moment, more of our debate on product placement with your calls and comments, and then later, indie rock trailblazers Not a Surf join us to play songs from their new album of surprising covers.
I could find a little electrocution. Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Product placement? Please. Try growing up in New York with the last name Schaefer at a time when Schaefer was the last of the Brooklyn breweries still standing. My whole childhood was product placement.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Who needs an ad campaign when you can have a hit music video? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're back with this week's Soundcheck Smackdown on product placement in music. Fever Beverage USA realized that sales of their stimulation drink skyrocketed when they were mentioned in a music video by this rapper Ludacris. Since then, the company stopped buying ads and just started relying on product placement in films and TV shows and music videos. Our guests are music writer and blogger Maura Johnston and Tim Riley, journalist in residence at Emerson College. And we're going to move the debate onto the phones. We've got a couple of Soundcheck listeners joining us on the line. George in New Jersey thinks product placement is okay. Karen in Belleville disagrees. George, you think they're just being realistic with product placement in music and videos?
Yes, I do. I mean, I personally don't fully agree with it. But, I mean, if the film industry and the TV industry does it, why can't artists, musical artists, have, you know, a piece of the cake also? I mean, just like, you know, the lady said there before, they're really not getting paid anything from their labels. They have to sue them to get their money. Now with people downloading their stuff online illegally, they're not getting paid for that either. I mean, why not? I mean, if they sell out, then sell out completely. And if you choose to not sell out, then that's your choice. But if you're going to sell out, I say just go for it all. And, you know, that's what it is. That's the state of the world, I guess.
Karen, George makes a good point. What's your response?
Well, I have to say I haven't seen Lady Gaga's video and I haven't seen the OK Go video. But I guess I don't care if it's tasteful. It would still look to me like nothing more than a commercial. And I think it's a slippery slope with free speech. I think what your other guest said is that who's going to dictate the content of their songs and their videos if they're being paid for by a company or a brand?
So when you see a brand name in a music video, or when you hear a brand name in a song, your antenna go up. You think, all right, who's actually paying for this?
Well, if it's in the song and it's ironic, like you said, then it's a gray area.
Yeah.
But if at the beginning and the end of a video it says, you know, paid for by, or, you know, brought to you by Allstate or, you know, State Farm, or I don't know, it would make me. Question their credibility.
George?
Question their message.
George, you got a response?
Yeah, I mean, what I think about it is that it just has to be done. There's a lot of artists who, I guess, you know, they want to keep their integrity, they want to keep their artistic integrity, and those artists aren't going to sell out, and those artists are the ones that are really trying to get out a message, maybe their views, maybe their, you know, whatever they believe music should be, and they will sell out. But these artists, I don't really think they're in it for their musical integrity. I mean, this is pop music. This is music that I guess is meant to be sold out. And they're just trying to make their money, just like any CEO of a bank or any other career. They're just trying to make their money the way they see fit. You know, they don't have to sell out. I just think they choose to. And if they do, then they do. But there's a lot of bands and artists out there that don't sell out.
Thanks, George. I think, Maura, you don't always get to choose your allies. I think George was trying to make your point
there. I mean, I guess, you know, I think it's funny that, you know, to talk about, like, bands not selling out. I mean, I was just at the South by Southwest conference down in Austin. And, like, you know, that's a festival where there are, like, pretty much every event that you go to, whether it's by, the, you know, a band like Sleigh Bells, that's a really, you know, sort of independent New York band, or like a band like Stone Temple Pilots, like every event there is sponsored by someone, whether it's Levi's Jeans or, you know, the sponsors of the festival like Pepsi. I mean, so there is like this sort of, you know, constant need for funding. I mean, that's the thing. Like, so if you're watching a YouTube clip of somebody playing a South by Southwest showcase, and they're playing because the festival, the show that they're playing was sponsored by, let's say, Pepsi, and so they're playing in a Pepsi background, like, what, like, where does that fall on the line? It could be like this unsigned band that just got into South by Southwest and is playing a day party, but the day party has sponsors. I mean, you know, it's a really complicated ecosystem.
It sounds, Tim, it almost sounds like you can be an unsigned band and sort of get dragged into this willy-nilly.
Well, the argument I haven't heard, which I think is probably one of the better arguments to make in favor of this whole thing, is that, you know, Pepsi's going to sponsor your video and plunk down the $500,000 it takes to do the video. They're not going to ask for that money back. If it's a record label, they're going to make sure that goes on your account, and you have to pay all that money back. Right. It's an advance against future earnings. But I'm sure that these contracts specify, okay, if you accept this contract from Pepsi for this one video, you have to promise you are never going to drink Coke on camera the rest of your career. And, you know, I think that's a slippery slope, and that's asking for bad news.
All right, let's see what some more of our Soundcheck listeners are saying on the comments page. Joel, you got some more for us?
John, our listener Ted in Atlanta wonders if the debate we're having is the outcome of all the free music that's out there. I think he's referencing both legally and illegally downloaded music. Ted writes, so why don't we just ditch the sponsors and pay for the music, lest the few remaining stars' entire existence will become like a NASCAR chassis of branded logos, icons, and product placements. Edward from New Jersey gets a little bit deep when talking about the telephone video from Lady Gaga. Edward writes, the placements in telephone are likely both real and ironic. It's funny to name check Wonder Bread because, well, what could be less cool than Wonder Bread? But by sanctioning it, Wonder Bread becomes cooler. It's totally meta. And then Jeremy from New York City pays homage to Busta Rhymes and writes, since you mentioned hip-hop, can you really imagine a video for Pass the Crevassier without Crevassier?
True enough.
True.
But let's come back to this idea of product placement as ironic or as, you know, something that has genuinely been bought and paid for. How do you tell?
You don't. I mean,
well, isn't,
you know,
that a problem?
I mean, I think that media consumers are obviously pretty sophisticated. I mean, you know, it's funny that one of the commenters brought up NASCAR and Wonder Bread because that was sort of the example in Talladega Nights, that movie with Will Ferrell, where he was, you know, his character was so whatever that he was sponsored by Wonder Bread, one of the uncoolest brands out there. And I don't know. I mean, I think that consumers are a lot more, you know, sophisticated than people let on. I also think that a lot of these brand placements wash over them a lot more than brand marketers want to
actually
realize.
I thoroughly disagree. I think that consumers are actually sophisticated, and I think what they are is tired and weary of constant advertising. And if there's no space left in our modern media, if there's no neutral space where advertising cannot intrude, then, you know, then it's just kind of pointless.
But a music video is an ad for a song. I mean, you're having the song advertised to you during the music video. I mean, I guess I understand your point, and God knows that I'm sick of ads too.
Yeah, so you want more ads piggybacking on more ads.
I just want artists to be able to make the music that they can, and unfortunately we're in a position right now where people aren't paying for music, so it has to be funded in other ways.
I think this is big trouble. This is easy money. It's big trouble, and we'll regret it. 5 years from now, we'll say that was really a bunch of stupid moves made by Lady Gaga.
Well, the video for Telephone by Lady Gaga and the video by OK Go for This Too Shall Pass, you can find links to both of them on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. They are definitely worth checking out in the context of our Soundcheck Smackdown and just for their own for your own enjoyment. We've been speaking with Tim Riley, the author of several books, including Fever, How Rock and Roll Transformed Gender in America, and the music writer and blogger Maura Johnston. And to everyone who called and commented, thank you for joining us as well. Maura, Tim, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Still to come, power pop outfit Nada Surf shares their new album of covers, including an unusual take on Depeche Mode. That's coming up next. Also, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings have a new album out on April 6th. Come see them play live here on that day. Get your ticket at wnyc.org/soundcheck.